Well, good evening to the North Terrace Church. I am thankful for another opportunity to present you a lesson from God's Word. I hope you all are doing well, and we also welcome anyone else that may be tuning in this evening. As I said last night, I surely wish that I could be with you in person. Last time I was there, we had such good times together. We were able to spend time together in one another's homes and get to know one another better. That part I'm surely going to miss, but I'm thankful that we can access the technology that we have and be able to study together this way. I want to thank Jason Letnowski as well. He's the brother here that's making this possible on the technology end. And if it weren't for him, we couldn't be doing this. But I want to recognize him and thank him for what he's doing to make this possible. We're having lessons on obedient faith, lessons from the letter to the Hebrews. Last night, we looked at a lesson regarding Abel. We noticed some things about Abel's faith that was obedient, very obedient faith. And because his faith was obedient, it made possible Abel's fellowship with God, and he was recognized by God as a righteous man. And because of that, Abel still speaks to us. He left a legacy to us regarding obedient faith. Tonight, we're going to turn in our Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight, we're going to look at the obedience of Abraham. Another one of these characters that we find in the book of Hebrews, especially here in this Hall of Faith chapter, we sometimes call it, Hebrews chapter 11. So what I want to do tonight is I want to examine this section about Abraham. I want to go back to the book of Genesis like we did last night, make some application to what's said there, tie these things together, and tonight at the very end, that's when we're going to make our primary application and take the faith of Abraham and apply it to what our faith should be today. So here with our Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11, let's begin reading together in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So we see what the Hebrew writer has to say about Abraham and his faith. And what I want to do is I want to make some points regarding Abraham. Let's make our way through these and then make the application to ourselves. Noticing, first of all, that Abraham's obedience was without delay. Abraham's obedience had no hesitation to it whatsoever. First of all, we see in chapter 11 here in verse 8 that God told Abraham to leave his homeland. And look again at verse 8, what it says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received as an inheritance. God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave this place that you call your home, and I want you to go somewhere else you've never been, somewhere else you do not know where you're going. I just want you to get up, and I want you to leave. Now, that's quite something to ask of someone, isn't it? But Abraham, after God asked that of him, we find no hesitation whatsoever in his response. Please drop your marker here at chapter 11, and let's go back to the original story. Let's start in Genesis chapter 11, there at the end of the chapter, and make our way there into chapter 12. Genesis chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 31. This tells us the story of God's call of Abraham. Notice what it first says in verse 31, after it gives the genealogies of Abraham and his family. Verse 31, it says, and Terah, that's Abraham's father, took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, when we read those verses there, we get the picture, or it seems to look like to us, that God came to Terah, Abraham's father, and spoke to him. And then Terah got up with his family and took his family away. But look at chapter 12 and verse 1. Notice what it says here. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Now, just take that for what it says. The Lord had said to Abram. It didn't say like this was continuing on that the Lord said to Abram. No, the Lord had already spoken to Abram. And he said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So in reality, God came and spoke to Abraham specifically. And Stephen tells us that in Acts chapter 7, as he's giving his discourse of history to the Jewish leaders there in Jerusalem. We'll come back to his story. We'll notice that later on in the lesson. But Abraham specifically was told, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. Terah just came along for the ride. And we know that he wasn't able to enter the Canaan land. Abraham was only able to go forward after his father died. But what I want to see or point out here is that when God called Abraham to leave his homeland, the place he had been all of his life, we see no hesitation whatsoever from Abraham. When God spoke, Abraham listened. Not only did he listen, but Abraham obeyed. We don't see him waiting a month and saying, well, you know, I know what God said for me to do, but I tell you what, I'm just going to wait till a better time. It's just not time for me to leave yet. I've got all these things going on. We don't see any of that. We just see after God calls, Abraham obeys. He gets up and he leaves. That's quite powerful, isn't it? Also, we see further on and later on into history that God told Abraham to send away his son. Go over to the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 21. Let me piece in the history here. By the time we get to about Genesis chapter 16, God has already told Abraham, now you're going to have a son. He's going to be this son of promise. And it's through this son that all these blessings are going to come about. Great nation, great name for you. You're going to have this land. But it's through a son that I'm going to make possible for you to bring about into this world. Well, Abraham and Sarah must have talked about that along the way. And one day, Sarah comes to Abraham and she says, I tell you what, do. Obviously, she's thinking that we need to do something on our part to fulfill this promise that God has made. Why don't you take my handmaid, Hagar? And you go in and you lie with her, and through her now, you'll bring the son that God wants us to have into this world. The problem was, that wasn't God's will. God didn't ask them to do that. And God didn't need their help to fulfill his promise. But still, Abraham, he obviously decided that was a good idea. He went in with Hagar, laid with the handmaid, and before long, here's Ishmael, the first son of Abraham, the son of the handmaid Hagar. So Ishmael is already in the world now. But God tells Abraham, look, that's not what I needed from you. Now, later on down the road, Isaac is born. That son of promise comes into the world. It comes to the time of Isaac's weaning. Genesis 21 brings us to that story. We'll begin reading together in verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Can you imagine? I mean, here your wife comes to you and says, look, now, what I need you to do is I need you to cast out this boy and his mother. They're going to be a hindrance to us. Now the son of promise is here. And all this time, Abraham's been with this boy. This is his son. And I can see Abraham wanting to delay this thing when it's a conversation between him and his wife. He's probably wanting to put this off in his mind. I don't know about this man. But then God spoke on the matter. Verse 12. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called, yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to the boy and Hagar and sent her away. God comes to Abraham now, and he says, now you listen to your wife, because that is my will. Not only is it her will, but it's my will. Send the boy away. And we see no hesitation in his response. Now, I can see Abraham maybe hesitating when his wife brings it up. But when God speaks, we see no hesitation, no delay whatsoever. We see the next morning he rose early, and he took and he put the woman and her child away. Why did he do that? Well, turn in your Bibles back to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews again. I hope you're leaving your marker there. Leave you a marker in the book of Genesis. We'll come back there as well. Hebrews chapter 11 again. Here's why Abraham come to understand. You see, Abraham was growing in his faith all throughout this time that God had called him. Just as you and I grow in our faith too. Abraham's growing. He's putting the pieces together. He's becoming more mature. And Hebrews 11 tells us about that maturity and why that he didn't hesitate in doing what God asked him to do here. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It's talking about there in those verses that Abraham and Sarah both came to understand that God's promise was through this son, the son that God allowed them to bring into the world. And because of that son, Abraham and Sarah knew that we must not let anything at all hinder the will of God from being accomplished. And if it be that this boy and this woman be a hindrance to that, we must do what God asks us to do, and we must put them away. No hesitation, no delay. When God asks, and I come to an understanding of that, that had to be what Abraham was doing. When he came to an understanding that this was God's will, he did not delay. He put the woman and her son away. It's obedience without delay. Later on in history, even more powerful, God told Abraham to offer his only son of promise. Stay here in chapter 11, and let's pick back up again in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Can you imagine that? That here you've come to an understanding that there's this son of promise, and this is the son through which all these promises are going to be accomplished and fulfilled. And I've come to understand that. And then one day God shows up and he says, oh, here's what I need you to do, Abraham. Go back to Genesis now, chapter 22. Let's read the original story. Genesis chapter 22. After he sent the bondwoman and Ishmael away, it says in chapter 22 and verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Think about that for just a second. I have a son. He's my only son. I have two daughters, but I have one son. He's my only son. I cannot even imagine. In the farthest fathoms of my mind, God coming and saying, now, Jason, here's what I want you to do. I need you to take your son, your only son, and I need you to take him to the mountain, and I need you to offer him as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. I'm glad God isn't asking me to do that. I'll tell you the truth about that. That'd be difficult. That'd be hard. But Abraham's faith just blows us away here, because He's not being asked to put the boy away and just send him off into the wilderness somewhere. No, he's not doing that. He's asking him to take that boy, take him up on the mountain, put him upon an altar, kill him, and offer him as a burnt offering. What's Abraham's response to that? Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. There's no hesitation. There's no delay whatsoever. God comes to Abraham. Abraham, here's what I need you to do. Abraham gets up. The next morning, he saddles his donkey and he goes and he does it. Abraham, here's what I need you to do. I need you to leave your homeland where you've lived all of your life and you spent all of your time. You don't know where you're going. I'm not going to tell you right now. I just need you to get up and go. Abraham gets up and he leaves. God tells Abraham that, Abraham, here's this son of this bondwoman. I need you to send him and her away into the wilderness. Get rid of them. They're going to hinder my plan. Abraham's always been with this boy. I'm sure he had affection for him. I'm sure he had affection for the bondwoman. When God speaks, Abraham just sends him away. God comes to him of his son of promise and purpose. This son that was born while Abraham was as good as dead and Sarah's womb as well. And this miraculous experience takes place and God shows up one day and says, Abraham, I need you to take that boy and put him to death. And Abraham obeys. He obeys God without delay. That's one aspect of Abraham's obedient faith. Notice a second here with me as we move along. Not only was Abraham's faith without delay, but Abraham's obedience was without question. We're going to look at these subpoints again and again with making a different point each time. Remember again, God had came to Abraham and asked him to leave his homeland. There again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, that's specifically what God asked him to do. I need you to go out to a place that you have not been to receive an inheritance that I'm going to give you. And when we came back again to Genesis chapter 12, you remember that when God had spoken to Abraham and told him, this is what I need you to do. I need you to leave your homeland. I need you to leave your family. And I need you to go to a place you've never been before. No questions. We read of no questions whatsoever. I can only imagine there would have been some questions that he could have asked. Don't you? I can imagine Abraham saying, well, God, why? I mean, don't I have a nice place here? I mean, can I do the things that you've asked me to do here? Why do you want me to leave? Couldn't have Abraham said, well, God, where am I going? I really need to know the direction that I need to take, and I kind of need to understand where I'm going to end up at the end of my journey. Well, God, how just am I going to get there, and how are you going to prepare the way for me to get there? There's all kinds of questions that he could have asked. But I don't see that Abraham asked one question whatsoever. There again, God spoke. And Abraham obeyed God without any question whatsoever. In the same way, God told Abraham to send his son away, you remember? And when God told Abraham to send his son away, when we read through the text there, I'm sure when he and Sarah were having this conversation about this, that there were some questions that were going through his mind maybe, because it's just he and his wife discussing this very, troubling thing that could be for Abraham. But when God speaks up, I see no questions from Abraham whatsoever. There's no question in his response at all. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, what we find is that Abraham got up early the next morning and he did exactly what God asked him to do. Again, I understand why. It's because Abraham understood who God was and who he was before God. And because he understood that, and he understood now what God was doing through him, that he knew that he needed to do whatever God asked him to do, and it wasn't his place to question God. When he had realized what the plan was, who was he to question the Creator, Him being the Creator. I see no question in His response when He asked Him to leave His homeland. I see no question in His response when He asked Him to send the bondwoman and her son away, and His son as well. But furthermore, when you come back now to Hebrews chapter 11, and this time when He asked Him to offer the Son of promise, and the text reads in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. No question. I'm sure there could have been a lot of questions that were asked. God, why? I've had all this time with this boy, and now you've allowed me to come to understand that he's the one through which the promises are going to be fulfilled. God, how are you going to do that now? Why are you doing that, God? What am I going to do? Why in the world are you doing this, and why does it have to be this way? I see no question in His response. Genesis chapter 22, which we just read a little bit ago, told us the next morning Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey and he went. I'm sure there were a lot of questions that could have been asked. Can't you see Abraham leaving home, going toward Mount Moriah? He's got his donkey saddled. He's got Isaac. They've got everything they need to make this journey and accomplish this mission. And let's just say Abraham's going down the road and someone who knows Abraham, maybe lives close to him, maybe it's a neighbor, passes Abraham along the way, and he sees Abraham, his donkey, and he sees Isaac, and he says, oh, hey, Abraham, where are you going? I'm going to Mount Moriah. Well, why are you going to Mount Moriah, Abraham? Well, I'm going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering to God. You're going to do what? I'm going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Why are you doing that, Abraham? I thought he was the son of promise. I thought God was going to fulfill all of these things through him. Why in the world, Abraham? Could have been asked, couldn't it? It could have been asked, Abraham, why are you leaving your homeland? Abraham's answer would be, because God said so. Abraham, why are you sending Ishmael away, your son? Because God said so. Abraham, why are you going to offer your son as a burnt offering to God? Because God said so. You see, there's another aspect, powerful aspect of Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith had obedience, and his obedience was without question. Here's a third thing that I want us to see from Abraham's faith. And that's that Abraham's obedience was with sacrifice. There again, God told Abraham to leave his homeland. We've read that twice. We don't have to go back and read it again. But can you imagine God coming to you and saying, I need you just to uproot, leave everything you have, everything you've worked for, everything that you've laid by, and leave and go to a place that you don't even know. That would be a little difficult, wouldn't it, to say the least. That's what Abraham did. Everything that Abraham had, everything that he had laid by in store over the years, was right there. Every relationship that he had, a lot of memories, I'm sure, a lot of good times, I'm sure some bad. There have been a lot of things that could have held Abraham there. A lot of attachments, I'm sure. He had comfort there. I'm sure he had safety there. He knew the place. I mean, we're comfortable when we're somewhere that we know, somewhere that we're familiar with. We know who's around and what's around, and we have safety and we're security, and we're in our comfort zone. And, you know, we don't like to get out of our comfort zone very often. It's scary out there. Abraham left his comfort zone. He left the safety and security of everything that he knew. I want to read Stephen's account now in Acts chapter 7. If you'll go over there with me, notice what Stephen said about Abraham when he's giving his history lesson here to the Jewish people. Acts chapter 7, let's just begin in verse 2. And notice what he said. Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out to the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. That's what God said. God just showed up and he said, Abraham, I want you to get out of this country. I want you to get out of this familiar place. I want you to get out of this comfortable place. I want you to get away from all these people you've ever known. I want you to get away from your family, the people you love. Get away from them. Here's where I want you to do. I want you to go somewhere that you've never been. That's scary, isn't it? That took sacrifice. That took a lot of sacrifice. Abraham gave up a lot. But he understood that God was worth it. That the promises of God were worth it. And his obedience was coupled together with sacrifice. We see that when he was told to send his son away, Genesis chapter 21. Just think about that. I mean, he may not have been the son of promise. He may have come about by illegitimate purpose. But he was still his son. He'd still been with that boy all of this time. He had had a relationship with him. I'm sure he'd come to love him, care for him. He had spent time with him. They had memories. But he gave up that relationship with a son that he loved. Why? Because God said, that's not my will. Remember, Abraham, I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't ask you to enter into that relationship with that woman and bring this son about in the world. That wasn't my will. And I realize now that you're going to have to do something hard. But if that's going to hinder my will, then you've got to be able to sacrifice that which may not accomplish the will of God. And he gave it up. He sacrificed it. Abraham's doing the hard things when the hard things are asked of him because he realizes it takes sacrifice to have fellowship with God. And what about this one? When God came to him and said, look here now. It's time for you to go and offer that boy on the mountain. That's your son of promise now. You know that son that I've allowed you to bring into this world, and it's through him that I'm going to fulfill these promises. Now take him and put him to death. And Abraham was willing to do that. Go back again now to Genesis chapter 22, and let's read part of this that we didn't read. Genesis chapter 22, and let's pick up together in verse 9. Genesis 22 and verse 9. After they have made their journey, they've come to the mountain. Verse 9 says, then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He did it. He was going through with it. He was going to put him to death. And we all know the rest of the story. The angel of the Lord stopped him. But if the angel of the Lord hadn't have stopped him, he was going to sacrifice that child. Abraham was doing the hardest thing he could have ever do in his lifetime, I'm sure. But he did it because it was God's will. Abraham, are you willing to leave your homeland for God? Yes. Abraham, are you willing to send away your son that you've known all of these years and you've watched grow up and you've come to love and have a relationship? Are you willing to send him away for God? Yes. Abraham, are you willing to take that son of promise, this son that you've born in your old age that you never thought you would ever see happen? Are you willing now to take that son, the son you love, your only begotten son, the Bible says, and take him and offer him as a burnt offering to God? Yes. Why? Because Abraham understood that obedient faith has to be coupled together with sacrifice. If sacrifice is not there, then our faith is nothing. Let's finally notice this in regards to Abraham. Not only was Abraham's faith so exceptional in so many ways, that Abraham's faith was without delay. Abraham's faith was without question. Abraham's faith was coupled together with great sacrifice. But here's something that's very important and completes everything else. Abraham's obedience, his obedient faith, was with trust. When God told Abraham to leave his homeland, to get up and uproot and take everything you've got that you can take with you and just head out on the road, you know what that took. That took trust. He didn't know where he was going. He had no idea. God didn't tell him. He didn't give him a map. And he didn't give him all of the instruction, and he didn't give him what was coming ahead. And Abraham, here's how everything's going to be taken care of. And but he didn't do that. But Abraham had come to understand, may I say this again, who God is. That God is the creator, the sustainer. God is the one who allows us to have life, breath, and all things. And Abraham knew he was a blessed man. God had called him, and he understood the great significance of that. And because of that, God knew how he stood before Abraham, and Abraham knew how he stood before God. And because of that, he trusted in him. And he knew God was going to take care of it. If God wants me to leave this place and go to another place, God's obviously going to work it out. God's going to take care of it. Where am I going to live? God will work that out. How am I going to eat? God will work that out. How am I going to find protection? God will work that out. Why? Because God's in control. And if God's in control, that's all that matters. Just let me be obedient. When God told Abraham to send his son away, it had to be trust there, didn't it? I mean, there had to be great trust on Abraham's behalf. Now, I've come to love this child. I've had a relationship with this child. We've been together all of these years, and now all of a sudden we're just going to send him off? Well, what's going to happen to him? How's he going to take care of himself? How's his mother going to feed him? Where are they going to live? Where are they going to find safety? Where are they going to find protection? No person in their right mind would send one away in such a way if they did not have trust in the fact that they'd be taken care of. Abraham knew that if God wanted him to send that boy and his mother away, that God's going to take care of them. God's going to provide for their needs. God will make sure they're going to eat. God will make sure they have some protection. God will make sure they have safety and security. And a matter of fact, God went on to say that he would take care of his people, that a nation would be provided for him, he said in chapter 21. And Abraham trusted God. And he did exactly what God asked for him to do. What about when it came to time to offer his son of promise? Back in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read that one more time. Coming down to again to verse 17, let's read this together again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. When God told Abraham to go and offer that son of promise, Abraham already knew something. He knew who God was. He understood that when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. So if God is asking me to offer this son of mine, to put him to death, but this is the son through which the promises are going to be fulfilled, it's through this son that the line's going to be narrowed, then obviously, Abraham says, God's going to raise him up. He knew that God had already promised that was going to be the plan. It was through that boy. So if God wants me to kill him, God's obviously going to raise him from the dead. That's trust. Trust in God's promise. And back in Genesis 22, you even see it there, even clearer. Abraham knew. He understood when he was going to the mountain, when he was going up the mountain. He knew what God was going to do. Abraham put his trust in God. He knew he was going to raise that boy from the dead. Look at verse 4 of Genesis chapter 22. Let's read at verse 3 and let's just read on down. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, listen to this, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Did you notice he didn't say, I will come back to you? He said, we will come back. Abraham's obedient faith did not lack trust. What it had was complete trust in God. Abraham, what are you going to do when you leave your homeland? I don't know, but I know that God will take care of you. Abraham, what's Ishmael going to do when you send him away? I don't know, but I trust that God will work it out. Abraham, what are you going to do when you take that boy up there on that mountain and you kill him? How's the promises going to be worked out? I don't know, but God has already promised, so I just conclude that God is going to raise him from the dead. I trust God to work it out. Abraham's faith. It's without hesitation, no delay. It's without question. It has coupled with it great sacrifice, but also there is complete trust in God. Oh, what a powerful example. Now can we make some application? Application to ourselves. God has also called us to leave our homeland. And when I say homeland, I'm speaking of the world that we live in. The world that we live in is our home, so to speak. But when we are called by God and we receive that call, He asks us to leave this place in a symbolic way. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll go there with me, Peter speaks to this end. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse 9, if we will. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Peter writes, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There Peter speaks specifically. We're a people who've been called out of the darkness, called out by the gospel. No longer do we have to live in the darkness of sin, but now we have stepped in to the light of the Lord, and there's where we abide with Him. Oh, we hadn't obtained mercy before that, but now we have obtained mercy. Now we have fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've accessed His grace. And now because of that, He calls us to live as Abraham lived. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. What does He want us to do? Because He's called us out, what does He want us to do? Live here, but don't live here like it's your home. Because this isn't your home anymore. Now heaven's your home. You're sojourners and pilgrims here. While you're here, don't make this your home. No, you're just wandering here like Abraham wandered. You're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what God's called us to do. He's called us to leave this place. He's called us to leave here and to not live in this world anymore, because God has called us out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. Jason, I've got something up on the screen there. Could you get it off there for me? So we, like Abraham, have been called out of the darkness into this marvelous light of the Lord, and we're not to make our home here. Without delay, we're to do that. Now, I realize when we first come to God that we have to work some things out. We're growing and maturing in our faith, but when we understand what God has called us to do, put away the old and live for the new. Do that without delay. Do that without question. Make the sacrifices we need to make. There may be relationships. There may be places that we used to go, things that we used to do. We've got to cut those things out. But we trust in God to know that if we do that, then God's going to work that out for us. He'll always make possible exactly what we need. Furthermore, God has called us to love Him more than our family. Matthew chapter 10, we pick this up from the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 10. And let's pick up together, beginning in verse 34. Notice what Jesus says here. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. There are going to be times when we become Christians that there's going to be relationships that we have to sever. God has called us, but He has called us to live a life that He wants us to live. And there may be relationships that we find that we have that are not good for our faith, that will hinder our faith and not allow it to grow, or may even call us back into the darkness. And just like Abraham had to sever relationships with family members, even when it was hard, we may have to do that too. There may be friends that we need to no longer have acquaintance with because of the lifestyle that they live, and we've come out of that lifestyle. There may be family members that we need to sever our ties with because they're doing more hindering to our work for the Lord than they are helping. There may be times that we find ourselves in a marriage relationship that we don't have the right to be in. And it may be that we need to sever that relationship if we do not have the right to be in it, to put away that spouse and live celibate before the Lord. That's going to be hard. But what Abraham did was hard too. And when we come to that understanding after we've studied it and we've learned it and we can put our finger on it, we need to do it without delay, without question. It's going to cost us something. It's going to be a great sacrifice. It's going to hurt. There's going to be pain. But if we understand who God is, no matter what we have to cut away from our lives, no matter who we may have to give up, our faith should allow us to trust in God and to know that God's going to work that out, God's going to provide, and God's going to do exactly what we need to make possible our faithful service to Him and eternally our home with Him in heaven. God's all called us, as we noticed last night, to sacrifice ourselves to Him. One more time, let's go to Romans chapter 12 as we did last night. Romans chapter 12. God's called us to sacrifice ourselves to Him. Abraham had a sacrifice he had to make, great sacrifice. And so we do as well. Romans chapter 12, again in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God, Paul writes. He says, I'm beseeching you, I'm urging you, you who have accessed and you recognize the great gift of God's grace. Now I'm beseeching you on behalf of that, to offer yourselves up as a living sacrifice to God. It's only reasonable, understanding what God has done for you. He's saying, I need you to offer yourself. Now, you make the connection here back to the Old Testament. How did they offer there? They offered everything. They offered the whole animal. Nothing was left out. In the same way today, the picture is us as a living sacrifice, but God wants all of us. He wants our whole bodies. He wants our whole lives. He wants everything. And He deserves it, considering what He's done for us. Oh, sometimes it's going to be at a great cost. And I'm afraid that too many times we find ourselves just wanting to give God what's convenient. We just want to give God the little bit that falls off the full plates of our lives. That's not what God wants, nor is it what He deserves. God deserves the better part. God demands it. And he should, because of what he's given to us already. Remember David? 2 Samuel chapter 24, there at the end of the book of 2 Samuel, when the plague is going on because of David's counting of Israel, when God told him not to, he did it anyway. And there's that plague, and the angel of the Lord is killing people there in Israel, and David comes to the threshing floor of Araunah, and Araunah says, take the oxen, take the wood of the yoke, and you just take it all and you sacrifice to the Lord. David said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. We must have that same outlook. Everything worth having comes with a price. Most certainly our relationship with God. It's going to call for us to sacrifice. Sometimes it's going to be hard. It's going to cost us something, but it's worth every penny. Think about what Jesus paid so that you and I could be transformed into His likeness. And let us always cut away. Let us always pay the price. Let us always do whatever we need to do so that we can continue to transform ourselves into these living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God. When we realize what we must do, do it without delay. Do it without question. Do it with sacrifice, and do it with complete trust in God. That's what Abraham did. And the Bible teaches us that Abraham is the father of our faith. And that means that Abraham's faith is put forth as a model and an example of what our faith should be. And what we've learned from Abraham's faith tonight is that Abraham's faith was without delay. His faith had obedience that never hesitated when God asked of him. His faith was a faith that didn't question when God asked. Abraham realized, this is what God wants, and when I see it and understand it, I'm going to do it. No questions asked. Furthermore, it was with great sacrifice. There were times when Abraham was asked to do great things, things that cost him a lot. But Abraham knew the sacrifice was worth it to have that relationship with God. And furthermore, his obedient faith had a complete trust in God. He knew that God would take care of whatever needed to be taken care of. And our faith needs to be what Abraham's faith was. And if it is, ladies and gentlemen, we too can be assured of a relationship with God while we're here. Complete security, protection from God while we're here. He'll give us what we need to make it through the hard times. And in the end, we can know that we'll have a home with Him in eternal glory. Thank you tonight for following along with me, for listening through this medium, virtual technology. I appreciate it so much. If you have any questions at all, you can reach out on the North Terrace Church website. You can go to the North Terrace Church webpage or Facebook page. You can ask your question there. You can leave a comment. If it's something specifically you want me to answer, I know the elders will get that to me, and I'll answer that question for you. I know the elders will answer any question. Perry, the evangelist there, will answer any question that you have. We thank you so much for tuning in, and Lord willing, we pray you'll tune in again tomorrow night. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity.